Honey, I blew up the business.
Welcome to the podcast. We've got Georgia Kirk here today. Lovely to see you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's lovely to see you too.
Oh, I'm super excited because we have a superstar entrepreneur here today. Winner of the Ultimate Entrepreneur 2021. So not just any old entrepreneur, this year's Ultimate. So congratulations on that award.
Thanks.
So she's not just an entrepreneur. She's an author, podcaster, public speaker. And she's the founder and director of Right Business Results. And she helps entrepreneurs, people like you, build their personal brands. So she's an author. And she's actually, I think you've worked on over 100 books. Is that right?
I have, yeah. So collectively, the team have done quite a few more. But for me personally, it's over 100 books now.
Because a lot of books. Fun. Yeah, well, so I'm going to dig into that because there's lots of good information that personally I'm kind of interested in that because I have not published a book. And she's also the host of the Interviews with Experts podcast, where she interviews experts. Is that right? she's had a bunch of very, very good guests on her show, and it's very impressive. And I've been listening to some of the interviews, and they're really interesting. We get into some interesting areas, talking around people's challenges and overcoming them. And so there's a few themes in Georgia's podcast which resonate with me and what we're doing on this podcast. So I'm hoping we can dig into that a bit today. And before I forget, because I always do forget this, this podcast is brought to you by the tech department. And that's my company. And that's the company that I blew up in 2017. And I made a real hash of it. And it nearly went bankrupt. But we pulled it back and turned it around. So I'm on a mission to help you and other entrepreneurs like you not do what I did. And so the purpose of this podcast is to help you learn tips and tricks to sort of avoid blowing yourself up. But I do need your help. So please share it, like, subscribe, comment, because the more you do that, the more other entrepreneurs can get the benefit of Georgia's wisdom and a bit of mine. So crack on and help us help others. So we're going to dive into it. And I've got a really exciting way to start this podcast because Georgia had a bump, as it were. So as we all had a bump in the last year when the pandemic hit, but Georgia had a particularly good bump, a literal bump, a few months before the pandemic hit. And so I was wondering if you could just tell us what happened to you early 2020.
Thanks, Dan. Yeah, just a little bump, little wobble. I was climbing and I fell. And one of my feet, my left foot, became stuck. And my body continued to fall and kind of pivot round, but it didn't take my foot with it, unfortunately. So it ended up the wrong way around. I mean, it was obviously visibly, obviously very bad when I landed, and you know, anyone who had seen it, it was pretty awful. But getting to hospital, arriving there, we realized it was actually a lot worse. And so their question after that was, can we save her ankle or her leg, or will this be an amputation? So that was 12 days into 2020. It's a bit unfortunate.
Oh my life. That's early, so that's January. And so where were you? Rock climbing, I guess, sort of somewhere.
So while that does sound almost cool, it wasn't a climbing center, I have to admit. So really? I didn't fall off like the Matterhorn or something, and you know, some kind of death defying. It was a climbing wall, but I was bouldering. So this is in Maidstone. And bouldering, for those of you who are not familiar, is basically rock climbing without any harnesses. I was sort of mid climb, and yeah, just there was an overhang. I missed my grip, and the rest
of
oh,
my life. Well, there. I mean, guess in some ways you were lucky you weren't up the side of the Matterhorn, because that would have been a problem.
That would have been a lot worse. Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, so it was quite good. Yeah. So you just started your new year, and I believe you'd have been sort of cooking up some big exciting plans, and then it all went wrong in 12 days into 2020. And so what was you going through your head then? You've got this business and you were just about to rev it up, and 2020 happens, and you're halfway through January and you have this bump. So what's going through your mind as you sat there in hospital?
At first, to be honest with you, I didn't really register how serious it was at all. And I think when something like that big happens, that's quite hard to comprehend, and there was no certainty. No one could tell me. It was like a week before they could even operate because of the inflammation and the swelling. And they had to kind of, without wanting to gross anybody out, so they had to kind of put my foot back on the right way around before they could then go in and start fixing things on a, you know, in surgery and that kind of thing. So for the first bit, I was just kind of taking things as they came, one thing at a time. I couldn't, there wasn't really anything to get my head around. It was like a really serious thing had happened. I had no idea whether I was going to walk out of that hospital or my life would be changed forever and I'd never walk again. And I ran an ultra marathon 4 months before, you know, so there was that level of uncertainty. So there wasn't really much to think about, which might sound like the opposite should be true, but there really wasn't. I just had to accept that I had absolutely no idea what was going to happen to me and that it was also completely out of my control. So I suppose, you know, in amongst all of that, it was like, how do I communicate this to other people in my life then? How do I explain this to my family? How do I explain this to my clients? You know, my boyfriend and I were in the process of buying our first home together. And 5 days after the accident, while I was in hospital on, you know, heaps of morphine, the house sale went through. And so then I remember turning to him and saying, are you sure you want to do this? Because I needed to him to have an out if he needed one. So yeah, so what was going through my head at first was just, oh, well, this is interesting. I wonder what'll become of me. And just knowing that I had absolutely no way of knowing. But yeah, after that, you know, you have to kind of get a bit more clarity together and I had to start making some decisions. Planning for the worst, I think, was what came next.
Wow, that's something. So you sat there with your foot in the wrong way round, with a house sale going through and a business to run. And there's a list. Is that the list of there are lists, aren't there, of the most stressful things you can go through? I think house sales is up there and what have you. But I think you found a new higher echelon of stress.
I think so. Yeah. Thank God, Craig stuck around. Otherwise, we'd have had a divorce on the list as well, which I think would have just popped off TikTok the top five or something.
A full house. Yeah. Like so at what point, so how long were you in hospital for? So this is kind of you're a week later, you they're just thinking they can actually do some kind of surgery or something. So how long were you in hospital?
It was over a month. It was nearly 6 weeks. Yeah.
So how did you so what happened with the business whilst you were in hospital?
So because at that point, I mean, in the run up to this, being totally transparent, you know, the sort of 3.5 years before that, was it 3.5 years, 4 years before that, the business, it's sort of inadvertently become a bit of a lifestyle business, actually. And that hadn't ever really been my intention. But anybody who's listening to this, who, in fact, Dan, you and I were talking about, you know, being creative and being an entrepreneur and having a quick start, for those familiar with Colby, you'll know that. That being a creative entrepreneur, it can be difficult to really, when you're on your own, you know, I didn't have any business partners. There was no sort of, you know, investment as such. There was little formality around the business. There was no board. So it was kind of me and my ideas. And one thing I was always, fortunately, very clear on was the need for process and systems in order to keep anything reliable going long term. So we had a really strong in-house delivery process. I had really good relationships with my clients who were just phenomenal. And while I didn't have an in-house team, I did have an amazing network of freelancers that supported me week in, week out. And so when this happened, the business at that time was still completely reliant upon me. I had no employees. And so getting to that planning for the worst side of things in hospital, a consultant came to see me and she said, this is like in week two. I was in a day ward because the hospitals were full. There was no room on the orthopedic ward. I was in a day ward for 17 nights, not knowing that, and there were no answers really. And it was, they'd said they were going to take me into theatre several times and I had even been anaesthetised and woken up and they'd found another reason they couldn't operate. And then they told me that they couldn't do it there because it was worse than they realised. And they had to transfer me to a limb reconstruction clinic in London. And the downside to that was it could be weeks or even months. They had absolutely no way of knowing. So it was the busiest time of year. So this consultant came around, Dan, and she said, she was like this really kind of quite outspoken, sort of out there woman who you knew that she was just going to say it how it is, you know. And she came around, she went, right. Has anyone actually told you straight what is going on with you? And I said, no, I don't think they have actually. And she went, okay, here's the deal. You could be here 4 months. I honestly don't know. She was like, everybody else is going to be prioritized because it's, you know, the time of year it is and whatever else. And technically, you can't really do anything, but at the same time, you're not on death's door either. So you could be here for a really long time. You know, that means eating bad food. It means not being able to see daylight. You know, at this point, I couldn't get out of the hospital bed at all. She was like, it's going to be really, really hard for you. And I've seen people bigger and stronger than you fall into a terrible pit of depression from which they usually don't ever recover, because it's just so testing. And at the end of it all, you could still lose part of your leg. So the biggest thing that you can possibly do for yourself and for anybody else around you right now is to get a grip on your mindset. That's the only difference between you getting better and walking out of here and not. So long answer to your question, but really, what in terms of the business, what then had to happen was, what did that mindset look like? What was going to be the sort of headspace that I would have to get in to carry this through? And then it was communicating that, first of all, to clients and freelance team, and basically saying, this is, you know, there's no easy way to say this. Something's happened. I've had a think about it. I'm determined that no project's going to be delayed because of this accident, and I'm going to find a way to make it work.
Wow. Like, well, there's a whole bunch of stuff in there, but that feels like a real moment. So you've been sort of in the hospital for a while. There's this sort of trauma. There's a sort of immediate aftermath. You've been kind of like the house sale. You know, the boyfriend stayed. You know, it's all good, and the dust settling. And then it's these sort of that kind of whole in and out of anesthesia thing. I bet that's kind of very disorienting. And then the straight talking consultant shows up and lays it down. So how are you feeling? What was going through your mind in that moment?
I just knew that she was right. It was the first thing that had made any sense. And it was that black and white clarity. You know, I just thought, I know she's absolutely right. And I remember thinking at the time how lucky I felt that A, there had been somebody on that medical team who understood the need to go and say that to me. And that B, I'd had as much exposure as I've had to entrepreneurial worlds and thinking, because in order for that to make sense. And I thought, I wonder how many people get put in that life-changing situation of those people that she referenced, you know, that get really depressed because of it and never find their way out of that. Probably because that's a really hard thing to get your head around. Whereas for me, as soon as she said it, I just thought, that's the first bit of sense anybody's spoken. She's right. I could walk out of here with a prosthetic limb. What am I going to do about it? And it just put everything in perspective. And I thought, well, I'm not going to do anything about it because it's not my choice. And so then I thought, well, what's my life going to look like? And it was like, okay, with all of those adjustments, what are the things that I looking at the business and that side of things, and I'm like, would that have to change? Now, we'd always been a remote company. The whole 6 years we've been operating, regardless of the pandemic. So there was no office to worry about, and people were already working autonomously. I was confident. I'd already had a plan to start bringing the house in team, and so I didn't see any reason for that to change. Once I'd communicated to clients, and they just blew me away with their... They were just amazing. You know, they were literally just like, oh, my God, are you okay, and how can we help? There wasn't even a worry about themselves between them at all. I couldn't have asked for more. So I thought, actually, I'm in the best possible position probably that anybody could be here, because I'm surrounded by these amazing people and I can get my mindset in order. So then I just, after that, decided that absolutely nothing was going to change from the 2020 business plans I had in the first place. I worked from my hospital bed, including on the days I was in limb reconstruction surgery, and which I had several. And I just knuckled down and I just thought, this actually doesn't have to alter my life for the worse. So that was that, really.
Fighting spirit came out. And it's interesting that someone who can kind of lay it down, and there's a line that's springing to my mind that I've said a few times on this podcast from Ray Dalio, the guy who wrote the book Principles, which is, you should embrace reality and deal with it.
Yeah.
And it feels like that was a real moment in time for you where reality was presented to you in its stark black and white, and you were able to deal with it. But so what was the mindset? If you had to get a grip on your mindset, what was that mindset?
The mindset is one of acceptance and inclusivity without compromising your ambition and your drive. So it's about directing the fight. You know, the fight wasn't against my, you know, crumpled, potentially inoperable leg. That wasn't the fight. I had to accept the leg. I had to send love to the leg. You know, I had to do everything to kind of physiologically heal. The fight was against my perception of the challenges that could present. And so I think that's the mindset. It's directing your energy and your focus, and it's pulling out it's pulling out the kind of senses of love and gratitude versus what you're not prepared to accept for yourself. You can't ever be a victim. You just can't. Otherwise, nothing would have. If I'd fallen into that, nothing would have been achieved last year in the end.
Well, I see. So there's some deep stuff there, really, in terms of refusing to be a victim and sending love and gratitude. So how do you kind of do that practically? Were you kind of like how are you handling that and managing your mindset in this kind of, you know, in the hospital?
Part of it's still kind of keeping a routine and keeping a grip on what's going on. So I'm structured with my time anyway. We both share a network, don't we, Dan, the Strategic Coach Network. Mm. And so there's a lot of talk around time systems, and I've always had a grip on my time because I'm a creative person. My weeks need to be structured so I can be effective. So I kept my Mondays and Fridays as my admin days. That still happened. Tuesdays, Wednesdays and Thursdays were days to focus on building the business. So I made sure that still happened, but I was just realistic about things like they come around to take to measure your heart rate every so often. Obviously, you need a lot more sleep because your body's going through an awful lot. And I was on a lot of drugs, so it was like, actually, what's practical for me to be getting involved with here? Mm. That's client work and that kind of thing. And so it was just bringing in the freelance team. You know, I just said to them, I think the best thing that you can possibly do for me, the business, our clients, is to communicate really, really clearly and really strongly. All of us, just we need to just be tight-knit now every day. And as long as I know where your head's at and what you're doing, I can cope. I can find a solution, you know, because none of them were like contractually obliged to be there and take on more and more, but they did. And the ones who did are now in-house as well. And that was incredible. So, yeah, practically, it was like trying to keep as much of that routine and structure and just normality. Emotionally, it was like, I couldn't move, and I was in a lot of pain, even through, you know, all the kind of drugs and medication. I was in a lot of pain. Obviously my leg was trying to kind of mend itself, but it couldn't, it was still, you know, it wasn't ready for that. So as the nerves, at first I lost all feeling. I couldn't feel anything below the point of my shin bone, right down to the rest of my foot and toes. I couldn't feel a thing. The nerves started to kick back into place once they got over the shock, and it would result in like spasms. So in the middle of the night, I could just wake, it was awful, really. It's not funny, but I might wake myself up by just sort of suddenly a leg would just fly off the side of the bed, and then I'd just wake up in agony. And so there was that side of tiredness to deal with. But actually what I had to do instead was, I discovered something called hand yoga. I don't know if you've heard of this.
No. Hand yoga.
Hand yoga, Dan, yes. So literally something as simple as having your legs straight out in front of you. And because by this point they'd put like an external fixator on my left leg to try and keep it together until they could get, because I eventually left hospital in a frame, a big metal frame with like 9 bolts that went through that kept it all kind of together and helped me to learn to walk again and that kind of thing. But anyway, so that elevates your leg, and then it puts you all out of alignment, your hips, your back, your shoulders, everything. So in putting something under the other one and sitting up straight and just putting your palms of your hands flat down on the bed next to you, it's surprisingly difficult, but little things like that, that's actually exercise, and that helped blood flow. So while I couldn't move, I thought, I can sit up and I could put my hands on the bed, that I can do. So that was what, it was just like, what can I do every day? Just smallest of things.
Wow, so is this all happening? So it's like physiologically, psychologically, business, you've got all the, I guess, nutrition, sleep, all these factors of your real life. And like you said, you're a fit, outdoorsy, ultra marathon running woman with a business that's all very get up and go, and you sort of flipped for a loop. So every aspect was just like changed. So and then we're cruising, I guess, at this time towards the pandemic hitting. I mean, I imagine this is what, like a February, March time.
Yeah. So I left hospital in February. And then the house that we'd bought, it was actually a bit of a project. So it didn't have floors, it needed plastering, it needed damp weather zone. So we couldn't even move in. So we had to move in. When I left, as she gathered, you know, obviously I luckily didn't lose my ankle or my leg, but I was unable to move or walk for most of last year. And I had this metal frame on, and the leg was supposed to have no gravity working against it, the elevator. We had to move into Craig's brother's house with his partner and their little puppy, who was like my little buddy while I was getting better there. And then we moved into the house about 6 weeks after that. And 5 days later, the UK went into lockdown.
Wow. So it's some drama going on.
To say the least.
So what do you think? I mean, again, looking back now, because it's like 18 months on from that. Looking back at that period, you know, like from mid-January to, call it mid-March, what do you think you've learned?
Oh, that's an excellent question. I've never felt more confident in my own ability to deliver on the goals that I set for myself, to be honest. And I've learned that you really, really can overcome huge amounts of adversity. And I wish I hadn't had to have been in that situation to have learned that. You know, maybe there's a lesson in self-belief there. But if you're committed to, as the consultant said, if you get your mindset in order, if you're committed to finding where there's a will, there's a way. I think that's the ultimate takeaway. You know, if you're committed to a goal, you really can go to great lengths to achieve it. And it puts the small things in perspective. You know, loads of stuff, it just doesn't matter. I'll never run again. That really is okay. But instead, I've, you know, got a new love of yoga and paddleboarding that I'm now able to do. And I think just the power of saying, what can I do over everything? What can I do? What's possible for me? That's quite liberating, really.
Yeah, it's interesting. A question to ask of yourself in a moment, because, there's always something you can do in a situation, however terrible it could be. And it's that gives you some sense of control, I guess.
It does give you, I think that maybe that's it as well, because when you're in a situation where everything's spinning around you and there's a lack of control, and I think the pandemic gave so many people that feeling last year, that I think that, you know, what can I do? It is just, even if you have to start super small, it's just those small wins and those small achievements every day. But they stack up, you know. And actually, yes, okay, fine, I went, you know, hurtling towards 2020 with this going to be my big year and the business big year and all this stuff, and, you know, 12 days in, the universe showed me otherwise. But actually, I see it as all part of that process. And it, in the end, 2020 was our biggest year ever, with four consecutive quarters of growth, and loads of achievements that even over and above the plan that I'd had in mind. So yeah, I think
Wait, so you say the universe had different ideas. Maybe the universe didn't have different ideas. Maybe the universe gave you what you needed.
I think that's true. Well, you know, there's a couple of my clients are NLP practitioners, and they're a married couple. And they said to me, they were amazing and supportive for the whole thing. Just they ended one call, and Mark said, just something that comes to mind, Georgia, you know, lessons repeat themselves until they're learned. And I thought that was also interesting. No one wants to hear that when you've fallen like that and you've had that accident. No one wants to have to consider the fact that they brought that on themselves. Right. But where was my head at that day when I was climbing? Actually, I'd been thinking about work. I was distracted. I was frustrated. I was and look what happened. So I think that that's the other side of it as well, that ultimately it kind of encouraged me to go to a deeper level of like taking responsibility for my own thinking. That's ultimately only been positive.
Yeah, that's really interesting, isn't it? It's kind of, yeah, the moment when you fell, what was going on then, and how much responsibility, well, you actually have to, because you're all hanging onto a wall, take responsibility for yourself. Yeah, that's really packed full of kind of really interesting sort of insights there. You mentioned something just in passing earlier on. You said it was a lesson in self-belief. What was that lesson?
It's a really good question. I think there are levels to self-belief. You know, like I've never lacked self-assurance, really. I've never really lacked confidence. But actually, every time you push yourself to a new level of personal growth, I don't know if anyone else finds this, I certainly find that I've come up against new iterations of my internal limitations. You know, I come up against it. It's a bit like a whack-a-mole game, isn't it? You think you've dealt with it, then you go for that big goal and you come up against it somewhere else. So the lesson in self-belief is like to not take that for granted, I think, to not just assume because you, yeah, I can have it. I want to go for that thing. I'm a go-getter. I'm driven. I'm motivated. That's not the same as self-belief, I think. Self-belief is a kind of, it's not just about confidence, but it's probably about eliminating a lot of inner distraction.
Hmm. Could you give us an example of what is a form of inner distraction for you?
Yeah, so I know that you get it candid on your shows, Dan. So I'll be.
Let's go there.
Let's go there. So I had a realization that I had like quite a negative self, like a narrative going on, and you know I had my upbringing was had amazing parts to it, but also some real difficulties. And that those had really kind of nestled their way in there and they were really kind of influencing how I thought of myself. And, you know, some of this narrative was, excuse me, hopefully you can edit that bit out. Some of this narrative was quite, it was actually awful. I was horrible to myself without realizing it. You know, I'd be judgmental about my appearance, my, I don't know, posture, my weight, my hair, my, you know, like, I know I'm capable, so why aren't I there yet? And all this sort of stuff. And this was just going around and around, running on a script almost on a daily basis. And I had to really address that. The accident, I think, really opens up a massive gaping, like, not even an opportunity to address it, a bit like, you have to effing deal with this, otherwise that can happen again. Yeah, so that was part of it for me.
It's interesting, because oftentimes, I mean, I suffered from that negative self-talk. And I'm much better at that now. But even like, you know, today, like I've been struggling with my self-confidence and I'm like, and then I start getting to this sort of like, well, what's wrong with you? You should have this sorted by now, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I'm not less than I was historically. I mean, I used to be very critical of myself about every aspect of it and be very unkind to myself. And yeah. I used to wear that and think that was a kind of badge of honor. Like, you know, I was my biggest self-critic, my harshest critic. Yeah. And I used to think that being that driven and that kind of hyper sort of kind of vigilant on my own performance was a good thing. And it was very bad for my mental health, for sure. And I had various burnout experiences over my career, all driven from those internal patterns, that internal self-talk. So it's interesting how this is a thing I think that perhaps a lot of entrepreneurs from a place of, call it trauma, but like if something that's not been that great, you've learned these patterns that in some ways drive you to win, but at a high cost.
Yes, I think so. It's a really valuable observation. I think, you know, for those of us that do that, would you ever talk to someone you love that way? You know, isn't it awful? Can you imagine? I can't imagine sitting my mum down or my grandmother down and going like, you're ugly. Why haven't you done your hair today? Like, why do you have to look like that? Why did you have that, you know, treat yourself at the weekend? Now you've put on a couple of pounds. I would say this stuff to myself, but I would, if I heard somebody else talking to someone I care about that way, I'd want to, you know, I don't know, slap them or something or scream at them. And so why do we do it to ourselves? I don't know, but well, actually that's not true. I do know because I've, hired a mindset coach to start taking it with doing some positive psychology and that kind of thing, and that's been necessary, stepping out of that and just trying to kind of move away from that thinking. But it's difficult when it's been ingrained within you from a really young age, and maybe when you were growing up, if somebody once said that to you, someone you loved and trusted said that to you, you know, does it ever really leave you alone? And I think it's you know, entrepreneurship in general constantly exposes us to different triggers and different situations where these things could crop back up. And you know, I think self-management is important.
Yeah, these things are happening below the level of consciousness. Like, you're not aware of them. There's your emotional response to a situation or a person or a statement can be seen as real. But it's really just built out of a pattern that goes back, like you say, to your childhood. And you just, that's how you experience the world, your filter that you're going through. And so actually the word, what's kind of really, I think, great with what you're saying is you've taken the ownership of that and you've hired a mindset coach to help you spot those patterns and disrupt those patterns and go over those patterns. But the fact, it's so hard to do it on your own. You know, and I'm speaking as someone who's wrestled with this for a long time, you know, and I think for anyone listening, it's these are things that are just, that's the way it is. That's how humans are designed. And these patterns can make you successful, but they can also hurt you too. So what you, I'm interested about your mindset, coach. What's kind of been your sort of greatest lesson out of working with a coach to help you with that?
It's really just recognizing how much of my behavior goes back to we kind of traced a lot of my this kind of negative thinking back to one particular point when I was like 5 years old, something that somebody said to me that has just, I'm 36 years old now, and I think of it often. And I think that's it's weird, really, when you think about it. But of course, it's not. It's normal. That's how brains work. And this, a lot of this sort of narrative stems from that moment. And so I've kind of, you know, grew up kind of exposed to maybe more of those comments. And it's just sort of maybe in my head, like, solidified this sort of understanding that that's who I am and that's all I can be and that kind of thing. And it was always a bit of a fight breaking away from those patterns. And so I thought that I had successfully achieved that as an adult, you know, but actually, for example, I've never thought of myself as a people pleaser, but as my business grew, I had to address the fact that I was saying yes when I really wanted to say no to people over things. And it could be in the form of doing a bespoke contract when, you know, it's not necessary to do that, or, you know, because somebody asked, or luckily never over pricing or negotiation or anything like that. But, you know, things like, you know, maybe not putting some enough boundaries in place. So, you know, working with some very strong characters who, you know, are comfortable with demanding things in a certain way. I wasn't comfortable responding to that. I didn't know how to handle that, even though I know internally how I felt about it. It was quite challenging kind of knowing how to actually handle it in a way that actually builds respect and builds this kind of idea of professionalism and honour into the relationship. Because in my head, whenever I've spoken up, if I've been punished and I speak up here, will I be punished by that person complaining or that person doing this? And, you know, it's so, yeah, that's been a really interesting realization.
So it's really actually very practical and applicable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so again, it's like, so on that particular kind of example, you've got these, call them self-limiting beliefs or patterns that are running, and it actually helps you on a very practical day-to-day level. And so just sort of gear changing a little bit. So you've had this year where the company has done or even exceeded what you were hoping it would do prior to you being flipped for a loop. So how's that been? Like, so you've gone, could you tell us a little bit about the growth in your business in the last year or so?
Thank you. So, it's such a different landscape now. And I look at it, you know, now versus, 18 months or January 2020, but we now have a team of five in-house, as well as the freelance team that support them. I'm stepping out of the day-to-day, which is happening sooner than I thought. We launched two new services last year. So the providing people with book, like done for you and done with you book services was always at the core of what I did. Last year, we applied our same done for you process to blogs and podcasts for authors. So they could kind of take that message out there on a more kind of day-to-day, week-to-week basis. And from there, we built out like a content framework that allowed people to repurpose that all of that amazing content and use it in different formats to really propel their books. And more recently this year, we've launched a VA service, a virtual assistant service, because then we realized that people who want done for you books are busy and growth focused and don't want to be getting involved in the nitty gritty of writing a book at the same way they don't want to be involved in managing their social media schedules and their, you know. So now we have this sort of turnkey publishing meets marketing solution for entrepreneurs who want to raise their visibility and raise their game. And, you know, and I think part of actually being, so on a practical level, those were some of the things we did. You know, there was a time when I'm in a few business masterminds and I did notice there was a definitely a kind of a bit of a Marmite response in the business community to the pandemic. One was to kind of batten down the hatches and rein in budgets and cut spending. And the other was to double down, the opposite, double down on spending. Bring in more people. You know, yes, okay, utilise the government schemes available, but ultimately, why put someone on furlough if actually there's a need for them in that business? Don't make a rod for your own back. So, you know, there were other businesses that actually built out their team's development plans. They put more money into marketing because they knew they were going to have to be visibly digitally present where the face-to-face contact had been taken away. So we did a lot of that. So I launched the podcast also. I also just cleared up, you know, things like bringing in some great tech to help us project manage and add even more value to our author's experience of becoming an author. Now they can see the book like come to life through the whole process rather than it being this behind the scenes process. And we also did a lot of cleanup. This was already in motion prior to 2020, actually, but on the financial side, you know, and anyone who's done well or indeed badly in business at any point, anyone who's blown up their business knows that there's usually a financial, you know, there's an implication around financial systems and processes. Mm. And, you know, admittedly, I was naive of this in the early days, you know, 5-6 years ago, I just kind of abdicate everything over to an accountant and kind of assumed that they were doing it right. And that turned out not to be the case. So just now kind of utilizing like dashboards and just making educated as well as strategic decisions, that's all been key.
Yeah, interesting. So you've had this real growth spurt, and so the business has got a lot bigger and you've got all these different innovations within it and different structures and how you're kind of working. And so looking back at that period, because it's been such an intensive 18 months then, you had the sort of trauma period, the physical trauma and getting your head around that and perhaps again being the mindset thing, being more focused. And then you've got this business growth thing. Looking back on that again, what's the bits that particularly worked for you during that 12 to 18 month period that we're just at now?
Practically or mindset wise?
Well, both.
Both, yeah. Committing, you know, like the accident presented me with a crossroads. I could have said, this is my life now. I have to focus on getting better. I'm going to have to change my plan. I could have said that. And I know in retrospect that I wouldn't have got better, and then B, I wouldn't have had the business. So that was a lose-lose situation. So really committing, like, but that meant going all in. That meant working 70-hour weeks to put better systems in place, building out the team, you know, navigating a pandemic, changing suppliers over certain things, launching a podcast, launching two new services, adopting software that goes through everything. I mean, these are not small projects. None of them really had a new website built, relaunched that. I mean, these are big things. This was 70 hours, 7 days a week, as I say, including the days I was being operated on. So what's worked is, like, once I knew that I was committed, once I made that decision that the accident, if anything, it wasn't going to worsen things. If anything, it was actually going to make things better, because it took away all distraction. All I could do was sit there. I couldn't walk. I couldn't feed myself. I couldn't, I couldn't wash on my own. I couldn't get dressed on my own. I could literally sit there, but I could type and I could talk. And luckily in my line of work, that's all that's actually really needed. I still have my clarity of mind. But yeah, so that's one thing, is that when you've got that emotional commitment, do not let anything, now nothing shakes my focus now. You know, no one will take me off my path. It's just like solid. But and then the other thing on the practical front is, I think looking at what the kind of masses are doing and looking at the panic, last year showed me that people who gave into panic didn't benefit. Whereas actually people that take stock, yes, evolve where they need to, yes, but those like long-term growth strategies needn't change. It's just that the way that they're executed may need to. So I think having that bigger picture perspective.
Right, again, it comes down to mindset, doesn't it? It's like a kind of, how you're filtering the information coming at you, whether you want to run away from it and hide or...
It is.
Yeah, or not.
Well, this is it. And I think also I learned that, you know, you've got to kind of, once you commit to move, you know, you've got to kind of move fairly quickly. You know, I think I do notice a lot of people saying things like, oh, well, we would build our personal brand, but I don't want to be the face of it. You know, we're trying to make the company self-managing. I'm not trying to be the star of the show. And it's like, those two things aren't mutually exclusive. You know, or you'll have people going, yeah, you know, the goal is to exit in the next sort of 5 years or 10 years. Well, but you know, I can't really. When you look at how many hours they're working and what they're putting in, you know, it's one of like five top priorities. And you think, well, if it's, I don't know. I mean, I think you've got to kind of move. Really, I think these things need a level of speed, not haste, but speed.
Yeah, fair enough. So just on this particular project subject, you mentioned about building a personal brand, and that's really what your business does for entrepreneurs. And there'll be a lot of entrepreneurs listening to this. And actually, I'm an entrepreneur, and I want to ask you this question: why should I build a personal brand? What is a personal brand, and why would it benefit my company?
The personal brand is your reputation and the literally what people say about you when you're not there, which in the digital space is almost all of the time. And the reason that you should do that, the reason it will benefit you and your company, is because it will benefit every single level of your business, as well as your own time and energy input. For example, if you can get a personal brand, like a content-led machine, up and running within your business, if you can create branded content that you can build into your business processes at every level of your organization, you could be in a position where you have a self-managing company that's growing without even the need for a sales team. Because what you're doing is educating, inspiring, motivating, entertaining, and you're allowing, most importantly, your audience to come to you on their terms when they're ready. And so the beauty of building a personal brand with content is that you can have someone call you up, you start going into your sales process, and they go, it's okay, I know who you are and what you do. I've been following you for the last 2 years. I've listened to every single one of your podcasts. Can we just, can I understand the commercials? Okay, that's fine. I'm going to take that option, please. And those conversations happen, you know.
Yeah, well, that sounds great. And you know, it's kind of interesting since I've been doing the podcast more. It definitely has been, I have found actually, for what it's worth, it's so interesting how this propagates out. And you know, not necessarily as it turns into a sale, but in terms of some level of influence, some level of people like what you're doing, so they think you're all right, and then things start moving a bit more fluidly. So that's been an interesting experience for me, and I was curious actually to ask you that question. So we're heading towards the end of our time on our podcast, and I'm going to ask you a question which I often ask our guests, because you're full of wisdom and great advice here, and that's been some good advice right there. But and there's lots of advice for entrepreneurs. So what advice should entrepreneurs ignore?
This is a bit of an unpopular opinion, I feel.
Go for it.
But you need to find your why in order to grow or be successful.
You should ignore that.
I just think it's a process, isn't it? I think it can take many forms. You know, I think what you focus on today could be very different 25 years from now. I think you do have to figure out your purpose and the overall thing you want to dedicate your life energy to. But I don't believe you need to know your one why in order to grow or be successful. I think that's maybe a distraction.
Interesting. Why is it a distraction?
I think it encourages perfectionism, or it can do at the very least. You know, I think ultimately, if you want a business or you want to grow a business, but you don't feel that you can do it because you don't have this like ultimate why, I think I'm not sure it's a reason not to get started. I think you need to know who you want to help and why you want to help them. Sure, you know what you want to accomplish. Yes, you know, and I think you need to kind of put some plans in place and then get started. In my humble opinion.
That's all we have, is our humble opinion. And we love you to dish it on this podcast, dish to your opinion. Well, I think it's interesting that, because I know what you mean. You can get a bit of navel gazing about kind of, why am I doing this for my higher
opinion? Yeah, exactly.
It's like, you know, and it's funny because I've been trying to, with my business, just sort of tone that down, because I have a real propensity to sort of go off and be like off highfalutin with some grand vision. I'm like, actually, why don't we just help people get kind of what they want out of life, and that's it. Like, you know, and with what we do is just we help people with technology. But ultimately, why do you buy technology? Well, you're trying to do something. So if we help our customers do that, then that's a kind of very direct, immediate purpose. It's actually often difficult to do because of all the vagaries of business and life. But I'm finding that quite motivating at the moment, personally, for what it's worth. It's just like, yeah, let's just do that. That's my purpose. You know, I don't have to like, you know, change the world too much. Just the immediate culture, you know.
It surprises me to hear you say that that's something that you've questioned, because I see you as a great action taker, and yeah, I follow your show. I'm a big fan of this show, so it's a real honour to be on it today. And you know, you just get stuck in there. You've made loads of noise about it online in a really positive way, and
Well, thank you. You know, I just muddle my way through. So yeah, again, it's nice to see that an expert in the field is seeing that we're doing something right. So that's very kind. Thank you. Well, it's been a great conversation. I really appreciate you being so open. I mean, seriously, there's loads of really good stuff in there. And I think we all can identify, I think, with moments where you're thrown for a loop. And, you know, and I think there's so much really good stuff in there. And it's interesting how you being faced with such a catastrophic thing forced that clarity. But hey, listen, that's something I think we could all do with, and I can do with. So yeah, thank you for sharing so much.
Well, thank you for asking great questions and for having me.
Well, so of course, lovely to be here, and love to have you here, dear listener, and I'll see you next time.
Do you want to get the top 5 tidbits from each episode emailed to your inbox every Friday? Yes, you do. It saves you having to go through and make notes and make a note of all the books and all the ideas that are in the podcast. We go through and we choose the top 5 we like, plus put all the links into that email. So if you just go up to honeyibluewupthebusiness.com, yes, that's honeyibluewupthebusiness.com, and just enter your email address. There's a little box, just enter it in, and we will send you that information. And it saves you having to make notes and all that. That's make your life a bit easier. And of course, if you did enjoy the episode, please consider subscribing. We are trying to help people through this. So the more people that subscribe, review, rate on Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify, the more people will see it and the more we can help. So help us help other people, other entrepreneurs like you. And before I go, I've got to say big up to my company, the tech department, the company we blew up and put back together again. They're generously supporting me on this mission through the podcast. So if you guys want to have a look at a company that can really help you improve your technology, make it better so your business gets better too, boosting your sales and your profit and a bit more sanity in your life, a little less stress, then head up to thetechdept.com, the tech department. My company, give us a look. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.